Let us be seated as we pray. Lord, this morning we come with hearts full of thanksgiving. How we love to join in heaven's song of the great Hosanna around your throne. God, you are strong and you are loving. There is freedom in you. There is victory and healing. There is unending love. There is forgiveness and grace in you. And so, Lord, we glory in your presence. Truly, our hearts save you to seek your face. In your face, O Lord, we will seek. We thank you, Lord, for setting us apart. And Lord, we set ourselves apart that tomorrow you might do amazing things among us. Lord, we ask you to do what only you can do in and through your church in Sedalia and all around the world. We lift high the banner of Christ, that you may be made known, that your kingdom would come. We give you blessing and honor and glory and power this day. Lord, this morning it is with great delight we thank you for Parkview Christian Church. We thank you for their anointing and ask you to pour out your blessing and encouragement and strength and power among that congregation. Father, would you meet every heart that worships there this morning? We thank you, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word and for the Holy Spirit. Would you continue to teach us all things? And Jesus, we thank you for teaching us how to pray. These ancient words ever true. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. So great to see all of you here today. I have to tell you, I was amused this week when I was looking on Facebook at pictures of Valentine boxes made by various children that I know. And here are a few examples of their artistry. It's very cool, isn't it? Very creative. It reminds me of a time when I was growing up and was close to Valentine's Day, and my sister Debbie and I had been working on our project, and our little brother Jeff was getting in the way. He was messing up all of our plans and our designs. And so we were kind of frustrated about that, and as we were working on our boxes and we were talking back and forth about things we had learned in school, I think I recall Debbie saying something to the effect of, someone told her that if you go into a person's bedroom whenever they are sleeping and you take a pan of water and you stick their finger in it, then they would wet their pants, and we thought that might be fitting punishment for our little brother Jeff. So that night we waited until all the household was asleep, and we did take a pan of water in there, and we stuck his finger in it, and guess what? Nothing happened. And so we stuck his finger in it again, and again, nothing happened. And so we went back to bed disappointed. And we awoke the next morning, and we went to the kitchen table, and we put back all the things that were kind of messed up on the day before. We're trying to get these boxes completed so we can take them to school. When Jeff toddles out of his room, and he goes to the refrigerator and takes out a big pitcher of milk, is walking back towards the table where Debbie and I are working on our projects, and he trips over his own feet and pours the entire thing of milk into our laps and onto our boxes, wetting our pants for us. And you know that thing about not crying over spilled milk? That does not hold true, because that's what Debbie did. She cried. And I just simply looked up to heaven and said, why me? Oh, Valentine's Day, you hold such special, special memories. And thank you, kids, for bringing this one back by posting pictures of your boxes. Here's my disclaimer. Please do not try this at home. Have you ever had anything backfire on you? Have you ever been the object of somebody else's prank? Or does life just feel like one big bad prank? Then perhaps today's message is for you and for us all. Let's pray. God, thank you for the joy of being in this place today, knowing that we are surrounded by your amazing, incredible grace and love. Let us never lose sight of how deeply you have cared for the human race, for your family, and how deeply you long for us to come to know you through your Son, Jesus. So in these moments, as your Spirit is present here, help us to be present to you. Shape your life in us, Lord, as we now receive the word of life with gladness and thanksgiving in our hearts. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. So we showed you some decorated boxes. Here's just one more box. And what do you suppose they all have in common? I want you to think about that question, but now I'd like for us to simply talk about wisdom. See, there was a great king named Solomon. He lived a long time ago in Bible times, and he asked God for something very special. Now, this was not like getting a wish from a genie by rubbing on a bottle, but he asked God for this one thing, and God granted it to Solomon. And do you know what it was he asked for? He asked for wisdom. We might ask for riches or a car or a game system, but Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him, lots of it. In fact, the Bible says that Solomon was the wisest man to ever live, and maybe it was because he was smart enough to ask for wisdom. So he wrote some wise words, and they've been contained in the books of the Bible known as Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. We talked some from Proverbs last week. It contains verses like, train up a child in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it when they grow old. Or in the book of Ecclesiastes, we might find in the first chapter in these words, Solomon saying, I set my heart to know what? To know wisdom. Now the rest of this verse says that I also set my heart to know folly, but that's like chasing after the wind. What he will conclude in Ecclesiastes is that you and I can have everything or nothing, but if you don't have God, it's all vanity. It's useless. When we taught the story last year and Pastor Mike was doing the leading on Wednesday nights, he reminded us that the life that we experience has a lower story and an upper story. If we take only the earthly wisdom, the lower story, we may come to that same conclusion that Solomon came to. Life is useless, pointless, empty. Conventional or earthly wisdom reminds us, follow your heart. You know, that sounds like a good thing, especially at Valentine's Day when the very symbol of the day is a heart. But the upper story, godly wisdom, teaches us that the heart is deceitful above all else, Jeremiah 17:9. It plays tricks on us. You know this, I know this. It's up and it's down. It's all around. It's driven by emotion. The heart can break us and others. We cannot simply trust our hearts alone. Earthly wisdom teaches, love your family. Love your friends. That's good, right? And it is important for us to love those closest to us, even if they get in the way of making our Valentine boxes. This godly wisdom also teaches us to love your enemies and to do what? To bless them. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and following, it says, you have heard that it was said, love your enemy, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemy, pray to those who persecute you, that you may be the sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteousness and the unrighteous. If you will love those that you love, what reward do you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? But be perfect, therefore, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. You see, that kind of earthly wisdom that says love only those who will love you back is short-sighted. I've known people who have been enemies when they were in high school. They couldn't stand each other. But when they grew up, they came to find that there was virtue, value, and worth in the life of that other. Some of them have become business partners and have been very successful. Others have been wonderful neighbors and friends. And even a few of them who could not stand each other have found a deep love in their hearts, so much so that they have come together and have married and now have beautiful children of their very own. You know, there's that saying about keep your friends closer and your enemies closer than that. You know, prayer softens something inside of you, and it softens something inside of them. This is perhaps why Jesus could keep his enemy close to him, Judas, all the way to the end, hoping, praying, believing that Judas would take a different path rather than the path of betrayal. But Jesus didn't give up. You know, earthly wisdom says seeing is believing. It's prevalent in our earthly wisdom, isn't it? But you know, it is good to have evidence. It's good to have proof, to have something empirical that we can point to and codify and explain and develop. But we've all come to realize there's something more than that which can be observed with the mind and with the eye. In fact, in God's godly wisdom, it says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. John 20:29. That's the story of every modern believer in Jesus. You and I have not physically seen Jesus with our eyes, but we have seen him with our hearts and we have believed in him. If you were in this building on Friday night, it would have been incredibly difficult to miss God's love. Every nook and cranny filled with joy and happiness and delight and wonder. And if you made it into the karaoke room, man, there were some amazing singers in there. And I think about 21 years ago, when we were debating and deciding and praying about building out here, would we have missed a night like we had on Friday night if we had not said yes to Jesus? And the other many multiple nights and days where people have encountered his love and grace because you boldly saw with your heart and now we see with our eyes. Numerous folks have been commended throughout Scripture for calling into existence the things that don't exist yet. God's possibilities are endless, and they're all around us, seeing with your heart and your soul until God makes it a visible reality. One of the favorite books that I have in Scripture is a book named James. I think it is well named, and it is well written. And in James chapter 1, verse 5, this is what he says. If any of you lacks wisdom, in fact, you know what? Let's all read this together. Here we go. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. God is impartial when it comes for the request of wisdom. We've been asking, seeking, and knocking, and God is generously giving wisdom to all those who look to him. So earlier I asked the question, what do these boxes have in common? And while I'm sure there are many answers that we might give, I would like to suggest this one. They were made to hold messages of love and encouragement. And so are we. There's a wonderful woman who was born in the 1800s, and her name was Fanny Crosby. What was known very early on was that her eyes were challenged, and shortly after her birth, she was completely blind. Fanny Crosby did not let her blindness deter her from God's destiny. She would not allow that which others felt sorry for to become her crutch or her excuse for giving up. In fact, by age 10, because she was not sighted, she asked others to read the scriptures to her, and every week she made it her goal to memorize a whole chapter of scripture. By the age of 15, Fanny Crosby had memorized the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Isn't that incredible? But this particular gift that God had given Fanny Crosby was this love for music and lyric. And in her lifetime, she would write over 8,000 hymns. Her mother's name was Mercy, which I think is absolutely incredible. And I also think it's beautiful that she said she grew up in a puritanical faith, very austere and stern. And when she first went and heard the Methodists sing, she said it was like a little bit of heaven. And that's what we heard this morning, too. So don't ever underestimate the sound of God's music coming from your heart and crossing your lips, my friends. It might inspire someone to write thousands more songs to his glory. And you know, you've probably sung a Fanny Crosby song or two. Blessed Assurance is one that comes to mind today. That has in it the line, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. The entire verse says, perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight, angels descending bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. The words of one who saw with her heart the amazing, incredible blessings of God. One of my little friends this week got his hand smashed by a sibling with a cart at a grocery store. He looked up and said, "That's okay. I'm full of forgivingness." Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. A colleague in ministry called me to tell me that his 5-year-old son had gotten in trouble in the lunchroom at school. One of his friends had told him, "Why don't we all decide to swat the lunch lady on the bottom when she walks by?" And then the guy with the bright idea chickens out. But my friend's son swung away at the target and hit it. And yes, he got sent to the office. And yes, they sent home a character correction sheet, what they called and told the parents would be arriving. And when he came home without it, he stood there and said, "Somebody must have thrown it away." That night they talked about his actions, and he realized what he had done was not correct. But this family has already in place within their family teaching system a procedure for how we deal with when we do something wrong and what are we going to do about it. And here's what they do. You express what you did that was wrong. And then you look at the virtue that needs attention. And then you ask for forgiveness. Young families, I think this is good stuff right here. And so the next day he went to school and he said, I am sorry for hitting you on the bottom. It was very disrespectful. Please forgive me. I'm proud of that young man, aren't you? Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. I read in a Time magazine article while I was waiting in a waiting room at the hospital this week about six families who had all raised their children to be successful adults. And each of these families did something with their children that I think is just beautiful. At night when their children went to bed and fell asleep, they did not walk into their room with a pan of water. What they did was that they told their children, you can become anything you set your mind to. God has plans for you. We believe in you. There's a future that is bright that is coming your way. They whispered into those children. It wasn't about being a doctor or a lawyer or a great teacher or an artisan, though many of them did pursue those avenues for their lives. But they were speaking to their subconscious words of meaning and value and hope. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. And those children woke up happier and ready to embrace the day. And I've already warned my kids, I'm going to be doing this to my grandsons when I visit their homes. Why not? Isn't this what wisdom is telling us? To tell God's truth and then live trustworthy lives? Who of us couldn't use a little more forgivingness? Who of us couldn't use a little more love? Who of us couldn't stand to let go of some of the heartache and the hardness that we've held against another by forgiving them and letting it go? Who of us couldn't stand to love a little more, even those that we have known as enemies? With Solomon, we can set our heart to wisdom, or we can pursue folly. But God will give wisdom to any and all who ask of it. And what you and I do with it shows just how smart we really are. And so today, I look out upon all these persons who are containers of love and encouragement. And I offer you my favorite lifetime verse as encouragement for your heart today. Are you ready? Here's my Valentine. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. God delights in you. He will quiet you with his love. And he will rejoice over you with singing. May the wisdom from on high fall into each of our hearts, even now, as we celebrate this day which the Lord has made. In the name of Christ, amen. Karen, would you just raise your hand? Come on up here, please. Sorry, I don't mean to embarrass you, but Karen had such a deep inspiration by God a couple years ago for us to do something that would help to impact the lives of some beautiful people. And this is our second year to have had Night to Shine. And Karen and Lance here, this crazy dynamic duo. I don't know which one's Batman and which one's Robin, but they are just phenomenal. I want us to express our deep thanks for all that they have done to allow God to use them to impact so many lives. God bless you. And now let us receive this blessing. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest mightily upon each of us now and forevermore. Amen.